So we just last week did the last part of our sermon series on the Creed, on the Apostles' Creed. Now, in the beautiful chaos that was last Sunday, where we got to worship in a new way and in a fun way without a system, in all that chaos, we forgot to say the Creed all the way, fully, as we have been saying it every week. And so this week, we're going to just kind of loop back around. And we're going to say it together. This is the last week, and so we're going to say the Creed together. And just a reminder of what the Creed is, this is the bedrock of what we as Christians believe in the church. And this is something that we hold on to here at the Source, that United Methodists believe, but that actually the church around the world, we say these creeds across denominational lines. And so this is that one of those things that unites us. So I'm going to invite you, we don't typically stand, but this time I'm going to invite you to stand as we say the Creed together for the last time in its entirety. Join with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we have spent the summer walking line by line through the Creed, discovering what it is that we find in our faith. What does it mean to believe this faith? What does it mean to live this faith? What does it mean to be challenged by this faith? What does it mean to instill hope through faith? What does it mean to be people of justice in faith? All sorts of things. We have gone in to the deep end of the pool for a long time. And so when I was thinking about capstoning this kind of series, really when it comes down to it, is if this is where we have rooted our entire lives, are we proclaiming it? And so I've titled the sermon Witness, because it probably is one of those topics that we try to avoid. Like we talked about Revelations last week, right? That's one of the things we like to avoid. But we dove into that and saw how beautiful it is. This, we're gonna go in a little deeper again. We're going to talk about what does it mean to witness? Because there is all sorts of ideas that come along with it, right? And most of the time when I say witness to your faith, most people think of maybe a handout that someone's given on the street, right? Or someone with a microphone telling people where their eternal destination is and trying to freak them out, right? To get some kind of proclamation. The church I grew in, they loved to have camps where they got you crying and then they brought you up to the front and gave my life to Jesus about 15 times before I was 12, right? And so lots of times when we think witness, that's kind of the ideas that stoke in our head, right? Like that's what and if we're being honest, many times when we go out into the world, we find people who, once we say maybe that we're a Christian, I encounter this all the time. My job is a pastor, so any kind of casual conversation that you have, like, what do you do? I'm a pastor. Immediately, it's on topic, right? So I have the easy road on this. But when we bring up our faith or something like that, lots of times we may encounter people who really are not interested in the organized religion, but they have no problem with Jesus, do they? Right? They've got no problem with Jesus, but they've at least developed some kind of mistrust in the church and the organized Christian religion. So how do we live into that? To explore that topic, we're going to be in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to be in chapter 8, and we're going to just be in some just short verses today. We're going to be in chapter 8, Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 27 through 30. The screen will have the scripture. You can also pull it out in front of you or just listen and hear. Sometimes it's easier just to listen and hear. Hear the word of God. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets. He asked them, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered him, you are the Messiah. And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. This is the word of God for the people of God, and together we say, thanks be to God. If we're going to talk about witness, we have to talk about Jesus, don't we? And the good news is most people in this world don't have a problem with Jesus. Most people are pretty cool with who Jesus is. But we have just spent 3 months, right, walking through this creed. What Christians believe who Jesus is quite definitive, right? We believe Jesus is the Messiah, not just a guy with good advice, not just a guy that has come to just change the world in a certain way, to deliver a message of justice, not just to be a good servant. Like, we believe that in Jesus we find the definitive word of who God is, right? God come incarnate to earth, and the grace and the love that God has for the world. There's a lot behind. When we say the word Jesus in church, we mean a lot. It defines our whole understanding of the divine nature of creation and our own role in it. All sorts of things are wrapped up in the name of Jesus. But if you read this passage, the thing you may struggle with is right, this is the part of the gospel where kind of we switch. All right, this is the beginning of the switch in the gospel where Jesus starts beginning his way to the cross. And so right here in the middle of this gospel, right, Jesus is named as the Messiah. So the up until this point, he's done wondrous signs. He's done these things. He's done some good things. This is like the switch point. This is the switch in the middle of the narrative, right, to say, all right, this is the Messiah, and this is how that plays out. This is what that means. But the interesting part, right, is that Jesus immediately after being named says, shh, keep it on the DL, all right? Quiet. Why is that? He doesn't go to the disciples and say, now go stand on the street corner and start telling everybody, right? No, in fact, we get a new definition of really what the Messiah is supposed to be. The first thing that kind of comes is I want to talk about witness, right? And the question I want to pose, and the question that I think we should wrestle with coming out of this week is, if I'm living the same, am I witnessing to the name? If I'm living the same, am I witnessing to the name? The first thing we find in this gospel passage is that faith is a witness to the journey. Right before Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say that I am, and who do you say that I am? There's this whole section of kind of this understanding of the Messiah that's going to take place over chapter 8 to chapter 10. And this section begins with a story of a blind man who is healed. Now, the interesting thing is this section of the gospel begins with a blind man who's healed, but it takes two attempts by Jesus to heal him. He goes up and he heals him, and he says, and Jesus asks him, can you see? And he's like, everybody kind of looks like trees. That's what he says. That's it. There, you can read it. Right? Everyone kind of looks like trees. And then, so Jesus comes back and he heals him again. And then he sees clearly. Right? Part of what it means to witness to the life of Jesus is understanding that we, as followers of Jesus, don't see clearly. That our understanding isn't complete. What's setting it up is Jesus is is going to ask this question, but what the Gospel of Mark wants us to make very sure we know is that the disciples, and even though they're about to name it, don't fully understand it. They're not seeing fully clearly yet. It's still some haze. There's still some fog. To witness to the journey is to recognize that our faith, our understanding of Jesus, what that means when we say this creed, is an ever-unfolding understanding. I do not believe the same I believed last week, the month before, the year before, the years before. My understanding has evolved. And yes, I don't feel that I'm no longer blind, but most things are kind of just still looking like trees. So many times, the world wants to tell you, this is the definitive understanding of the world, of success, of how to live. This is the answer. You find it all over our world, don't you? 12 steps to figure out your career or whatever. They want to say, this is it. There's nothing else. All you do is follow this understanding. This is the answer. And if you follow that, you're good. You got it figured out. But how many of us go around in life thinking we've got it figured out? And let's be real. If we encounter someone that has figured out, we can quickly find how they have it, right? We quickly find out how they haven't figured it out. And the church, we get caught up in that same thing. Sometimes we just say, I'm going to come out here on Sunday. I'm going to say the creed. This is what I believe. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to check the box. I'm going to get out of here. And we come to church. We come in. And let's be real. How often do we let that creed shape how we live? How often do we let our faith challenge what we do in life? If I'm living the same, am I witnessing to the name? Second thing is the passage itself. We see Peter, on behalf of the disciples, witness to the truth. He says the truth, doesn't he? What we believe in the church. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? He witnesses you are the Messiah. Everyone says these things about you. They say you're a good guy. They're saying you do miraculous things. They're saying you're bringing a word of justice and peace. And they're saying all those things. And then he says, who do you say I am? You're the Messiah. They witness to the truth. But Jesus says, shh. Right? And right after he says, quiet. He says, the Son of Man has come to suffer and die. The Son of Man has come to suffer, will be ridiculed, will be persecuted, killed, and on the third day he rose again. And then Peter takes him and Jesus, he tries to take Jesus aside, like, Jesus, come here, man. Like, this is the guy that just named the Messiah. And he's like, Jesus, get over here for a second. And he's like, no, dude, I'm not going to let that happen. And Jesus doesn't keep it private. He gets back. He says, no, get behind me, Satan. The guy that just named him Messiah, he calls Satan. Right after. What's up with that? If we're going to witness to the truth, we have to understand that our understanding of truth is in the journey. That we bring in the world sometimes when we don't realize it. See, Peter had an understanding of the Messiah as a conquering king. He's going to be the one that drives the enemy out. He's going to rally the troops. We're going to have a revolution. We're going to take back our land. We're going to fight for what's ours. That's our Messiah. He's going to be king. We're going to kill him. We're going to take him out. We're going to get rid of him. We're going to drive him out. All these people getting in our way, they're gone. Rome, gone. Right? That's his understanding of Messiah. And if we're going to be real, how many times does the church turn Jesus into a conquering king? Sometimes we can sympathize with people who have skepticism of the church, can't we? How many times do we define our Messiah as just another worldly power fighting for what's ours? What Jesus is pointing to is cosmic. Not that Peter is really Satan. What he's saying is the message you understand of who the Messiah is not right. That's not it. That's the power of evil and injustice. No, no, no. I've come as a servant. Yes, I will conquer, but I'm going to conquer in love. Just like we talk about, we love delivered in justice. So if we're going to ask the question, if I'm living the same, am I proclaiming the name? What's my understanding of the name? Because it's going to shape how I proclaim it. Third. Witness is in living. Jesus, right after this, says, "For those who will follow me, take up your cross." For those who will be my followers, for those who will live into the journey and witness to the truth, the way you're going to do it is you're going to witness in living. Take up your cross and follow me. This sets up the journey to the cross where Jesus, all along the way, no matter what evil the world throws at Christ, Jesus is going to stand in loving opposition. And at the end of this journey, with the death and resurrection, what we're going to have is the definitive divine word of God that nothing, nothing will separate us for those that live faithfully in love and in servanthood and in grace, even with those who stand opposed to those things. As we learned last week, we will be victorious. Am I witnessing to the name if I'm living the same? The thing we learn about that is that your understanding of what it means to live and how you live really points to the truth of what you believe about Jesus. No matter what we may say, no matter what creed may be proclaimed in our lives, the way we live is that by which we believe. The way we live is that in which we put our trust, that in which we let define who we are and what we're about. Amen, sister. Amen. The beautiful thing about this is so many times we get so lost in the minutiae of what's the right thinking and what's the right action when we really should just be focusing that the journey is before us. God's going to be proclaimed, right? Whether it's the babies in our midst or the rocks. God said he'll make the rocks cry out. He don't need us. God will be victorious. But if we want to see the world clearly, if we want to see the world as it is, it means understanding the divine call of Jesus in servanthood and love. That's the truth. Not a conquering king, not someone who puts down others that they may survive and live and thrive. No, someone who says, I will serve, and in my service, I will be elevated. A Jesus that points us to what we are in the world is playing a part in the role of a divine reality. That the way we live is shaped by that of the creator of all things, or that in which is defiant to it. And if we're going to see clearly, it means allowing our understanding of Jesus to be challenged and letting that challenge our lives and how we treat our neighbor, our brother, our sister, our stranger, our enemy. If we're going to live the creed, we have to ask the question, am I living the same? Am I proclaiming the name? Pray with me. God, we thank you, Lord, that you show us our foggy vision. Lord, and even those of us who gather in this space who call you Messiah, that reality is not set in stone, but a journey in pursuit of truth and experienced in our lives. Lord, we pray that as we gather in this space, what we encounter is not just an hour of your presence, but a new vision of the world. One that is full of your love and your mercy and your justice. That is found in the eyes of our neighbors, is found in the deepness of our hearts. Be with us in this space. Allow us to see more clearly that we might live faithfully. Give this time to you, give our lives to you. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.